Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, June 15th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. As companies begin bringing workers back, things are bound to be a lot different in the office. No, we're not talking about socially distanced desks or plexiglass partitions. Employees have gotten used to new routines and responsibilities over the past year, and coming back to the office could create some challenges for them and their bosses.
What both managers and employees need to do at this juncture is to rethink the relationship between office and remote work in a way that we just didn't because COVID happened so suddenly.
Author and WSJ contributor Alexandra Samuel has been researching this issue. We'll talk to her about it after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
With vaccinations on the rise, more employees are looking to bring workers back into the office. But after more than a year of working from home, you might not be the same employee you used to be. And that means you and your boss will have to adapt. So what kind of environment should you expect, and how can you work best with a manager in the brave new world of the post-pandemic workplace? I'm joined now by Alexandra Samuel. She's a data journalist and co-author of the recent book, Remote Inc., How to Thrive at Work, Wherever You Are. Alexandra, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, Alexandra, when people come back into the office, it's probably going to feel like the first day on the job for everyone, workers and managers alike.
Yes, and I've been there, and it is a big adjustment. If you've been used to working on your own or working from home, it can be really tough to suddenly have the structure and scrutiny of the office. As wonderful as it is to see your colleagues again, for those of us who have enjoyed the experience of having more autonomy, more control over our schedule, more control over how our work gets done, it can be very hard to be back in the situation where at 9 a.m. you're expected to report for duty and follow someone else's marching orders.
And the return to the office probably means a lot of one-on-one, get-to-know-you, or it's-been-so-long type of meetings. Can you talk about how that dynamic between workers and their bosses is likely to have changed?
Well, it's certainly going to depend on each organization. And I think in the smartest and most adaptive organizations, the ones with strong organizational cultures where even before the pandemic, they delegated a lot of responsibility and autonomy to their workers, it's going to be very much kind of a reunion and check-in that I suspect will be as much as anything about that personal reconnection, you know, that so many of us missed in the time out of the office. In organizations where the shift to remote work was more challenging and really flew in the face of a command and control culture, I suspect that there are going to be some managers who are tempted to essentially reassert their authority. I picture, you know, my dog growling at another dog as perhaps a model. And, you know, that is really the moment I would encourage managers to avoid, because it's just not going to go over with somebody who's been working successfully on their own for 16 or 18 months.
Yeah, let's look at this from the worker's perspective. Over the past year and a half, pretty much all employees have had a taste of independence without that managerial oversight that you just alluded to. So how should workers be prepared to kind of allow that oversight back into their workday?
What seems to work very well for employees who are remote is to think of yourself less as an employee and more like somebody who is an entrepreneur running your own business with a greater degree of independence. And so if you think about that mindset as it applies to hybrid work, when you show up at the office, you show up like a really terrific vendor who is there to support and delight your client. You're not there to kind of grovel on your knees and say, you know, please, sir, what's my next assignment? And just that energy you bring to the office on day one, if you can kind of bring that boss energy yourself and show up like somebody who is in charge of their own work, is in charge of their own deliverables, knows how to get things done, that is going to send a cue to your boss that the world has changed and that you are a new kind of employee they may need to approach in a different way.
And for employees, their boss has to assess their performance over time, so they have to really allow for that extra leeway, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that you need to treat each of these returning employees more like you would treat a new, let's say, senior hire. So, yes, there's sort of a probationary period, not where you're evaluating them with an eye to firing people, but more towards assessing what they're capable of. And, you know, just because somebody maybe had some limitations in the pre-COVID world doesn't mean they still have those same limitations now. You know, somebody who perhaps was reticent may have learned to speak up more. Somebody who was disorganized may have learned how to take charge of their own work. And if you assume that they're the same person and manage them like they're the same person, you're going to miss the opportunity to recognize and build upon that growth.
You know, worker productivity went up during the pandemic, and it's largely because workers set their own hours, well beyond the traditional 9-to-5 workday. So what kind of a balance is going to be needed between workers who are going to have to condense their work hours a little bit closer to the traditional workday and managers who have to maintain that productivity?
Honestly, that shifting of hours is both the best and the worst thing about remote work. And it's unfolded somewhat pathologically during the pandemic because so many organizations transitioned so many people overnight with little oversight. Those of us who've worked remotely for a long time can say, you know, when you don't have back-to-back video calls all day, you can actually get a lot more done in a day of remote work than you can get done in a day at the office because you're less distracted, because you can dive deeply into work that really takes focus. And that's exactly how employers and employees need to approach this shift to hybrid. The opportunity we have now with people combining office work and homework is to get rid of all these video meetings. Treat the 2 or 3 days a week that most people are still going to be spending at home as the sort of sanctuary days that are there for you to do deep work. And if it's not all about meetings, who cares if you're doing it between 9 to 5 or 5 to 9. The beauty is work when you're at your best, and honestly, work less than an 8-hour day, because if you're not interrupted, you can get a lot done in 4 or 5 hours. And then the office days are the days that you're 9 to 5, you're taking meetings, perhaps you're booking calls with clients and colleagues in other cities too, but you are doing that interactive work on your office days so that your remote days can be even more productive than what you've experienced in the past year.
Seems like there's going to be a learning curve for everybody coming back to the office. You know, it could be as much of a shock to the work ecosystem as it was when everybody was sent home. What should employees know about how their bosses are trying to reassemble the workplace environment?
The truth is that this moment is new for everybody. And for both managers and employees, the office we are going back to is not the same office. For one thing, on any given day, probably at most half of the team is going to be there. And for another, we're now going to have this resource of remote work that we can draw upon. And so what both managers and employees need to do at this juncture is to rethink the relationship between office and remote work in a way that we just didn't because COVID happened so suddenly. And so this is the moment for managers to really think strategically about how they want office time to function for the whole team. And for employees, when their managers are perhaps not stepping up with that plan, to lead from below and show their employers what's possible with remote work by learning how to maximize their own remote productivity.
So we've talked about a lot of change for employees that's coming as offices reopen, but what's not going to change in terms of their role within a company?
As an employee, you are always better off focusing on your key priorities and your key objectives and thinking about how you can deliver on them. And for some people, this past year of remote work has really leveled up their capacity to do that, to really be objective focused, to be outcome focused, and to learn to organize their own work so they can deliver on what matters. And those are the employees who are going to bring new skills back into the office and who are going to be able to be really successful by combining home and remote work in order to deliver what really matters to them and to their organizations.
And how about for managers?
At the end of the day, being a great manager is really about being an enabler, a coach, and a mentor, more than about being a prison warden. And the managers who really understand that kind of coaching role and who understand how to support their employees both in the office and beyond are going to be the ones who are able to lead successful teams. And the managers who are clinging to a control model where they measure their employees' productivity by the number of hours they witness them sitting in a desk chair are the managers who are really not going to be very effective at growing their team's capacity.
All right, that's author and data journalist Alexandra Samuel. Alexandra, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.